This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70114. And this is H.G. Gale speaking and inviting you to stay tuned now for this next hour and worship with us. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for this opportunity that Thou hast brought us to this hour, and where we need Thy grace and Thy strength and Thy Holy Spirit to help us. And You said that Thou art our helper. Where can we look? And we cannot look to anyone else but unto the Lord, and trust Thee that You will lead us and guide us in this hour. And bless Thy word as we declare it. Bless the singing, thanking Thee that we can worship Thee in spirit and in truth, thanking Thee for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from every one of our sins. And keep us in this hour, and may You give unto Thyself all honor and glory, because it rightly belongs to Thee. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Now as they bring the baskets around, you give as unto the Lord. Remember the needs in the storehouse. And if you have anything out in Radio Land that you'd like to help us in providing for the needy, we have a God storehouse for the needy. You want to write us the check or send in supplies, we greatly appreciate it. It all goes to the needy of this city as we work together with the welfare department, and we try to help them in providing the need for the needy. And we do not charge a penny. We do not sell anything out of the storehouse, but it's given. And we praise the Lord that we're able to do that. Now let us sing To God Be the Glory, 227. And let's sing it right on out. To God be the glory. And truly we could say amen to that.
Oh,
That's right. Now, you look around you, and you'll find out that we can say amen to that. Great things that he hath done and that he is doing, and greater things he will do as we walk with him, as we believe him, trust him. Greater things he has in store for those that believe him. Those that know him or want to believe him. The greatest thing that will happen in your life, if you want to know Christ, is to know him. And when you come to that place where the Son of God is revealed to your heart as your Lord and Savior by the Holy Spirit, that'll be the great day. Then you say to God be the glory. God be the glory. And that's what I've been saying now for nigh 20 years. To God be the glory. I don't have to glorify man, because my salvation is not after man, but is after God, his working in our hearts. All right, let's sing another song before we have the message. Number 264, I Know Whom I Have Believed. Can you say that I know whom I have believed? And he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Well, we praise the Lord that this is a place where you can know. And you cannot go wrong in the Word of God. There's no need to go around stumbling and wondering and with doubts and fears and unbelief. When the word of God we have here before us assures you. Where am I going to get assurance? In the word of God. Now, I know there are people who, when they see a light, they said, I was saved when I saw a light. And they based their salvation upon a light. And to reassure them, they have to always look for that light, which is another way, another trick of Satan. Because like I told you, the Sunday school hour, Satan hates the Word of God. Because therein is the salvation of our Lord revealed. Therein. And I tell you, you better quit just hope so and everything else. And let's get along and let's get the face and facts and let's get to the Word of God. And ask the Holy Spirit to write them upon your heart and in your mind. you might believe. And he'll inject faith there that you'll be able to believe. But you cannot receive faith in the part of the Word of God. You've got to hear it. You've got to, whether it's by me or whether by someone else, or is just getting along with the Lord and meditating upon His Word, and you'll receive faith through the written Word and nowhere else. Anything you need for your life as a believer, you can receive it from the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that charters our course. It's the Word of God that leads us back into the way if we happen to drift out the way. It's the Word of God that leads us back into the way, that straightens us out. We can never do without it. Oh, that it can be like David said, it is my meditation when I lie upon my bed at night. Are you thinking about what you saw on TV when you get on your bed at night? Are you thinking about what great event during the day? And oh, you're reveling in the thoughts of that day of the flesh, or what you've reviewed, or some immoral picture, or sinful pleasure, and you're thinking about those things. But oh, if you thought upon Christ upon your bed at night, He is my meditation, Christ. Not me, no one else. Christ is my meditation. After you said good night to your husband or your wife or your children, and there in the wee hours of the morning you're resting upon the bed, and you're drawing from Him comfort and strength, and then you're feeding upon Him, He becomes your meditation. And no wonder David says, Thou art my meditation. I meditate upon Him, upon Christ. Take your eyes off everybody. Don't draw comfort from the preacher, for anyone, from Christ alone. Get along with His Word. Meditate. After the hours of the day when you're home, and after you've had your night meal, if you can get alone. But how vastly different than the average home today. They get home, they have their supper, and right away they want to run for the TV and put the TV on. And there they'll feast upon the TV hour after hour. And they go to bed, their minds are just turning and twisting because of what they saw. There's no rest in that. There's no peace of heart in that. Only rest you'll find is when your thought turns towards the Lord. He is my rest. He is our rest. I don't need those things. They come and go. But I need Christ. And sinner, you need Christ. And you're going to be taken up with Christ if you need Him. And believer, if you tell me that He's your life and He's your salvation, you're going to be taken up with Christ, who is your life, your salvation. You are. And you're going to want Him and desire after Him more than anything in the world. There's nothing that satisfies but Christ, Him alone. Him alone. I'm satisfied with Him. Are you? Or do you need the pleasures of this world to satisfy you? Are you living in a turmoil all the time? You're constantly going. You're constantly driving. There seems to be no end to it. You're just constantly driving. Constantly. For what? Stop! Stop! seek that which will do you good, that will benefit you not only in this life, but the next life. Let us turn to the 17th chapter of Acts. In your Bible, I long after you this morning that you might come to know Christ, to know that eternal life that's of Him, that He wants you to know. There's no reason why any sinner should perish. In the 17th chapter of Acts, in that 22nd verse, let's begin reading. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are very religious." Now that's what that means. Now, you have the reading in your Bible there, too superstitious. But the meaning of that is very religious. Do you know you can be religious and go to hell? Do you know that? Now, you think upon that. Paul was dealing with a group here that was very religious. But there were superstitious in their religion. I was at times before God saved me. There's lots of superstition that goes with religion. But listen what he says. "For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God,' whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God who made the world and all things in it, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." Just because you see a big, beautiful temple, a costly place of worship, is no sign that God is there. And I believe that many people are attracted to churches and houses of worship because of their beautiful erection, a beautiful temple, adorned in and out with expensive material. And they're drawn towards that temple because of that. "Why, I go to so-and-so's church, you know. We have a beautiful chapel. We have a beautiful place of worship." I've heard that along. But the question comes on my heart, is the Lord there? Is Christ magnified there? Are you being fed from the Word of God? We have a beautiful place here. I praise the Lord for what He's given us here. But if this is all that we had, come and go, no dealing with hearts, no preaching of the gospel, the Holy Spirit not moving in our midst, it would all be vanity. All be in vain just to come and just to say, "Well, I went, you know, we have a beautiful church." I don't talk about the beautiful place that we have, but I talk about the Christ that's exalted here, the gospel that's preached here, and where sinners can be awakened and where sinners can be saved, can come to know Christ experiential in their heart and their life. Now, listen to what it says here. Now, "He dwelleth not in temples made with hands, and neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord if, what, perhaps, perchance, they may feel after him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us. Do you know that? Do you know that Christ is with us this morning? Do you know that the King, he walks up and down these aisles here before us? Do you know we have the Word of God before us, who exalts the Lord Jesus, that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Word of God tells us over in the 10th chapter of Romans that he is nigh thee. He is even in our mouths. The word of faith that reveals the Son of God is nigh us, in our mouths. In our mouths, on our side, in our being, he surrounds us, he overshadows us with his glory, with his presence. I wonder how many of us come to see and look for him, to feel after him. Have you? Have you? Have you sought the Lord this morning? Have you come here seeking the Lord this morning, pleading his precious blood? Have you? He said, I will commune with thee. I will meet with thee and commune with thee above the mercy seat. And the mercy seat speaks of Christ and his precious blood. He does not come here to meet us above the law. The mercy seat is above the law. It typifies Christ and his shed blood. And he offers to you, sinner, he wants you to seek after him and to feel after him. Oh, that I may find him, that I may find whom my soul delights in. Oh, where can I find him? He's nigh you. He's near you. He's nearer unto us than our closest associate. He is. Feel after him. Look to him. Yes, for listen to that 28th verse, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much, now listen to the 29th verse, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like gold or silver or stone, engraved or carved by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. And that word winked, it means overlooked. At the times of this ignorance, I'm glad that the Lord overlooked many of my mistakes and errors through life and my past. He did not condemn me of them. He knew all about me and about you before he ever saved you or ever began to deal with your heart. So, in times of this ignorance, God overlooked or winked at. But now he commanded all men everywhere to repent. Now, have you repented? Have you repented to give God the glory? Like that song we sang just now, to God be the glory. Now, you cannot repent until God grants you repentance. Do you know that? Repentance is of grace. Now, have you repented? Do you know anything about grace? The grace to repent. Because he had appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Now, who is he speaking of? He's talking about his only dearly begotten Son, concerning which he had given assurance unto all men in that he had raised him from the dead. Where do you find that story? In the Word of God. I'm bringing you back to the Word of God. That's where you get the assurance that God raised him from the dead. He's given us that assurance, he said, to all men, that God raised him from the dead. No wonder Satan hates the Bible. No wonder he hates the Word of God. He wants you to believe that Christ didn't rise from that dead, that he did not rise the third day, that resurrected morning, and is ascended for you and for me. But listen, he's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, concerning which he had given assurance to all men, and that he had raised him from the dead. Yes, he did. I don't care what people might say. Christ is risen. I know he's living. I know he's risen, because he lives in our hearts. All right, now what does the gospel mean? Now let's get back a little further into what we spoke on last week. Where are you going to get your assurance? Where do you find it? You go about grasping. You get it from a light that you might have seen or a dream. The gospel means good news to guilty sinners. Now, have you ever become guilty before God? Let me ask you that. Have you ever seen yourself as a guilty sinner before God? Not become guilty before man, but before God. Just like that criminal is found guilty of a crime before the judge, and yet never become guilty before God. Now listen, you must realize that faith does not come by seeing. And it doesn't come through ordinances and baptism. I'm just reviewing a little bit that we had last week. Let me repeat, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith does not come by tradition of men. It does not come through visual aid. It does not come through visions or dreams. Faith comes through the preaching of the gospel by those who know its quickening power. Now, I can never preach it if I don't know it. Now, I have to first, for my own self, I have to first find out its quickening power. In verse 13 of Ephesians 1, we observe the gospel of your salvation. When you receive the gospel, and the moment it is accepted by the heart, it becomes the gospel of your salvation. You heard it. It was good news to you, and faith laid hold of it. You believed it, and it became the gospel of your salvation. Let me ask you this question this morning. Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Again, Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. I must ask you again, have you ever seen yourself lost? A lost, guilty sinner. Now, don't shake your head, yes, if you haven't, because you'll only be fooling yourself. I'm speaking to your heart this morning. Have you ever seen yourself as a lost, guilty sinner? Salvation is Christ. And Christ speaks of coming to seek and to save that which was lost. There's more rejoicing in heaven among the angels and inhabitants of heaven over one sinner that comes and sees their need of repentance, and whom the good shepherd seeks out and finds that sinner, that guilty sinner that's lost. Now, are you lost? Now, we do not hear that question so much in this day. They may say, come on down and join the church. Or come down and trust Jesus. Give me your hand and trust Jesus. But you'll never hear them ask that sinner, have you ever been lost? Have you ever been guilty before God? Have you ever seen yourself as a lost, guilty sinner before God? If you cannot say that you have, then you cannot say that you're saved. Because Christ only saves lost sinners, guilty sinners. Have you ever admitted in your heart that you were lost? If you have, then you're found. Now, there's no such thing as the Holy Spirit. He opens your heart. He shows you what a lost, guilty sinner you are. And for you to go around continually, I'm guilty. I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm guilty. I'm lost. As long as you're able to say that, you're not lost. That's right. I'm telling you from God's word that Jesus came into the world to save sinners and to save guilty, lost sinner. And if you tell me that you were before him as a guilty, lost sinner, you're found. Now, you had better think about that. The word of God is not contradictory. Now, for you to tell me that you were lost, and you mean to tell me you're not saved, you're contradicting God's word. You're not basing your salvation of your assurance upon the word of God. You're basing it upon something else. Now you listen. Our text again. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Now, after you hear the word of God, what takes place? Okay, I've heard it. I've heard the word of God. But I believe that some of us have probably been hearing it for a long time. And that's all you've been doing is just hearing it. But there was the one thing it lacked. It lacked faith. The Bible is the book of faith. Do you know that? You're saved by grace through faith. It's not going to do you any good to hear the word of God if you do not act upon it. Now, I'll tell you something else. Now, let's just go on. Because after hearing comes belief. I heard the word of God. I believe the word of God. In other words, faith comes while you are hearing the word of God. How many have heard the word of God from the heart? Some of us are not saved this morning because you've heard it outwardly. It never penetrated to that inner ear. Because after hearing the word of God, preaching the power of God's Holy Spirit, the word of God is not void. Do you know that? the scripture teaches us in the 55th chapter of Isaiah that the word of God will not return unto me void. But when it's preached in the power of God's Holy Spirit, it sends forth not only the word, but faith to accept that word, to believe it. To believe the word of God. Faith comes while you are hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. If your soul desired faith to believe Christ, then you must hear the word of God. Do you know that? And not like many are proclaiming it, perverting it. I don't mean in that respect. But I tell you one thing, God will give you confidence in the one that brings his message. He'll give you love for his servant, and you'll sit and you'll hear the word of God. I know long before God ever saved me, he gave me a love and a confidence in the one that was to bring the message, that I was going to hear the word of truth that would impart faith in my heart, that will enable me to believe upon him whom God has sent as a propitiation for my sins, to see Christ. But I tell you what, you're never going to hear me or hear any one of God's servants whom he has anointed as long as there's a critical spirit or rebellious spirit in your heart against his servant. And that's the reason why there are many who are not saved today, because they heard it with a critical spirit. They heard it with a rebellious spirit in their heart, or prejudice against the individual. And that's why some are walking out. And that's why some at the missions, that they're finding it hard to believe. It's because they have a critical spirit there, a rebellious spirit that needs to be broken by God's Holy Spirit before they're able to believe the word of God, before faith enters, which is the principle that God uses that you might lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before God ever saved me, all of the rebellion had to go. All of that critical spirit against not only the servant, but others, anyone, it had to go. It had to go. To say that you believe in Christ. Now listen to this. You must hear the word of God if you desire faith to believe Christ. I'm letting you on. I'm shutting you up to the word of God. The devil says you shouldn't be so emphatic or dogmatic about what you're saying. For brother, I'm just as dogmatic as pertaining to my salvation when I say I know whom I have believed. There's no question in my heart and mind about not only what I believe, but whom I believe. It's a what first, but it's a whom. And you have to be careful to what you believe. If it's contrary to the teaching of God's word, don't believe it. There are people that come in and want to bring other doctrines in. And the Apostle Paul warned us of those things. But be sound, he tells us. Be sound. All right? Now, if your soul desired faith to believe Christ, then you must hear the word of God. God does not deny faith. Now, listen here. Now, we're going to put things in their right places. We're going to say God is true and every man, every other thing is a liar. God is true because he's spoken it. Now, let's put rightful things first here. Now, I want to see where you are this morning and where you're sitting, where you're living. And why are you chasing around so much and trying to draw faith and comfort from everybody else? Now listen to this. God does not deny faith to anyone that he has truly given a desire after it. Now, that individual, God does not deny. And that sinner comes to the place to where he or she says, I will not be denied. I'll not deny myself of that which God wants to give me. He'll not deny faith to anyone who really wants it, who desires after it. And there's no need for you to go around steeped in your unbelief if you desire faith. Because if you truly want it, God will give it to you. Now, you got to hold water. Now, you don't have it this morning because you didn't truly want it. You're not saved this morning because you really didn't want to be saved. Now, you have better get earnest now and get to thinking with us. God is true. His word is true. And when God says, if anyone comes to him and believes upon him, he hath eternal life. To say that you believe Christ, on the other hand, you're telling others that you have fully come to trust upon him. Oh, well, I don't know. I want to know him. I want to know him. And I'm trusting him. No, you haven't. You're not trusting him. You're not trusting him as Savior at all. The Word of God's right there, huh? Right before you. You heard the song, only trust him. Only trust him now. Salvation is a present day application upon the heart of a sinner that he may know the Christ that's revealed in the Word of God. If I tell you to trust Christ, I'm by God's Holy Spirit telling you to trust him, to rely upon his word and the promises there for you. I'm not telling you to wait for this moment or for this great experience or for this and that. I'm telling you what God wants me to tell you. And you are to act upon that because the Holy Spirit is there working and imparting to you faith to believe it. Take heed, lest at any time all of these impressions will slip away from you. Then where are you going to be? You've got to trust Christ. You've got to believe him if you'll ever get saved. If you're ever able to say, yes, this is the good news. Oh, and the gospel that I've heard, that's become the gospel of my salvation. Now you listen. Now, if you turned to Ephesians with us in Ephesians, in that first chapter again, you're going to find something there in that 13th verse that tells us in whom ye also trusted. In whom you also trusted. And then what happens after that? Listen, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you heard the word of truth, you trusted it, it became the gospel of your salvation. Sinner, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Feeling? Who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation? Do you believe that? Have you trusted him? And then if you read Ephesians, that same chapter, that 12 and 13 verses, let's read it again, that we should be to the praise to his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now listen. All right, now what takes place after that? Now, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. After you believe, the Holy Spirit comes in and seals that covenant promise. Seals that salvation. Puts a stamp of approval upon that seal unto the day of redemption when our Lord comes back. Oh, I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. Do you know I can never lose what I've got? Believer, don't you know you can't lose what you have in Christ? Once you came to him, you trusted him, you believed him, and you surrendered your whole life, you committed your whole self unto him, and he came in to dwell. That salvation he's given you, sealed by the Holy Spirit, you can never lose that. Brother, that's a positive salvation. There's no wishy-washy salvation about God's word. There's no description of it given as such in the word of God as a wishy-washy salvation. It's something that an individual knows and can know, and something that they can believe, and it's belief unto everlasting life in Christ. Believe him. Believe the record of his son. Believe him. I'll leave you looking to no one but to Christ. And I'll not sit down and listen to anyone who's trouble. Oh, I got lots of problems and troubles and everything else. And I've been telling that individual over and over again to look to the Lord, to get along with his word and believe it and trust it. I don't have time for all of that. After the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, what then is trusting Christ? You say, what do you mean by trusting Christ? Listen, sinner. Listen to me. You may ask that question this morning, and you say, what it means trusting in Christ? It is believing in him. But don't I have to have an experience? Don't I have to come this way? Don't I have to come that way or experience this? No, it doesn't say a thing in the world. It doesn't say one thing in the world, and I can prove it by God's word. That you might believe on him whom he has sent, that you might know him as the one that came from the Father, Christ. And you come to know him by believing on him. Come trusting in him. There's no other way. I don't know of any other way. I've tried every other way. I've tried by water baptism. I tried by the profession of faith, trusting the preacher. Put my hand in the hand of the preacher, and he just said, well, now you're saved. I've tried that. That didn't last. I've tried this and that, tried to work, tried to do good, tried to do everything in the world that was possible. That didn't hold. But when I came under the influence of the gospel, when God awakened me back in 1952, and I came face to face with the Word of God, I came face to face with a foundation there that could hold, and with the promises of God that were made real to my heart by the Holy Spirit as I heard the Word of God, and as faith from the preaching of the Word, faith would came to my heart to believe it and to put my trust in it, that it was the only way, only God's way of salvation. And then I was able to come and rely and trust Him and throw my whole life, commit my whole life unto Him. And He took me in. And over again, the revelation of His Word. I came to know more and more about Him. I came to know Him first. First, I had to believe Him, to trust Him. Now, you listen. It is believing in Him, and which means believing Christ. God's servant proclaims His message. You listen. The Holy Spirit brings it home to the heart in power. In the message, grace issues forth the principle which enables me to believe the gospel, and you too, if you listen. That principle is faith. Faith to lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe the Lord. The Word tells us the gospel of your salvation. In other words, the act, and that act which is essential to salvation is the trusting. You talk about trusting Christ. This means trusting Christ. And the sinner must act. Sinner, had the Holy Spirit convinced you that the Word of God is truth? We read in 1 Timothy 1:15 where Jesus Christ declares that He came into the world to save sinners. Also, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. There are some of you here and out in radio land that will say, I cannot believe that. And yet the Holy Spirit convinced you that the Word of God is true. But you won't believe it. Listen to me. In the Holy Spirit's imparting you enough enlightenment to know that Christ is faithful and true, that enlightenment is your power to believe. Do you know that? God enables you. He grants you power to believe the Word of God, to believe the truth, Christ, to trust Him. And that's the reason why you say it becomes the gospel of your salvation. The moment I believed, the moment I trusted Christ, that's become the gospel of my salvation. Trusting Christ. I cannot. Now we're going to have to leave you in Radio Land. We're sorry. And we just have just a little bit more to go. But may the blessings of our Lord rest upon you. And you hear us again at the Voice of Truth next Sunday at 7 o'clock, the 10 o'clock Bible School of the Air, and the regular 11 o'clock preaching service. Until that time, next Sunday, may God's blessings rest upon you. Bye-bye. We read in John 5:24. Now just a couple of minutes. Now listen. You're listening. The Holy Spirit is dealing. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now this is the Lord speaking. He that believeth, what? He that believeth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. You tell me you cannot believe the record that God gave of His Son and that you cannot believe on His Son, then you make God a liar. Now you listen to me. The only way that you honor the Father is to honor the Son. And that is by believing on Him, which is trusting your whole life entirely in His hands. Now that's what you're doing, by believing on Him and trusting in Him, falling flat upon the promises of God. Salvation in Christ is believing Him to be true, because He is unchangeable. He's a solid foundation that you can rest your eternal soul upon. Christ, I'm talking about. Trusting in Christ is the exercise of faith that comes by the hearing of the Word of God that enables you to believe Christ unto the saving of your soul. It is not just one act of believing. It is not just one act of trusting, but it is a continuous believing, and it's a continuous trusting in the merit and in the righteousness and in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where are you, sinner? Come out of that hiding place. Come out. And get along with the Word of God. We must remember that faith is the work of God's Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who quickens it, or the one who makes alive. It is the Holy Spirit who illuminates our understanding, because there by nature the understanding is darkened, and God has illuminated your understanding. And in that illumination, faith is imparted to you to believe the Word of God. It is the Holy Spirit who works faith in the heart, but it is man's responsibility to believe. Now, isn't that something? Don't sit around and say, well, when God gets ready to save me, he'll save me. Or I'll have to wait now for a little bit more illumination or a little bit more faith to where I can be sure. Well, brother, the Word of God is just as sure as it is written. He that believeth is saved. He that believeth not is damned. That's the Word of God. Or are you going to trust that unbelief of yours? Or are you going to forfeit the Word of God for what you think? The Holy Spirit does not believe for me. Do you know that? He imparts to me grace to believe. And to you, sinner. Repentance is the work of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not going to repent for you. You're going to repent. And you're going to confess before God that you're a lost sinner. We must believe and we must repent. The Holy Spirit works in us to will and to do. And by His grace, we will believe and we will repent. So is God working in your heart? Then if He's not, if God the Holy Spirit is not working in your heart, my prayer is that He will. And that He will kindle a fire in you that will set you off to seeking the Lord. But as long as you're seeking the comforts of one another and running here and there, you have not truly been awakened. Desire in your heart to want to know Christ. All you want is a lot of comfort. And I'm not about to give comfort to nobody. I'm going to face you with the Word of God. And the promises of God, standing on the promises. I shall not fail. Though the howling winds around us prevail. And you'll be like old Jacob. I will not be denied. He wanted the promise of God to be real to his heart. And he wrestled. He wouldn't be denied that. And if you take that attitude, and that's the frame mind of your heart, and you seek after the Lord, you truly want to know Him, He is not going to deny you the promises. Faith to believe Him. Faith to trust Him. Faith to surrender your all in all upon Him. Faith that will carry you into eternity, into the bosom of our precious Lord. Faith that will enable you to escape the city of destruction back there. And you will run for your life to Christ. You'll seek Him. You'll feel after Him through the Word of God. Not that you'll go around feeling And I know you're feeling and you're waiting for a feeling. No, I don't mean that. Through the Word of God, the promise of God, you'll be like the one in the Song of Solomon. Where can I find him? Where can I find him? Where can I find him? Truly my soul longs after him. Where can I find him? That's active faith. That's seeking faith. And you'll not be denied until assurance comes in that heart. And brother, sister, you're going to say, that's the gospel of my salvation. That's the good news for a guilty sinner like me. May God's blessings rest upon you. I'm going to let you go, trusting you to the Lord, and hoping that I can hear of some soul that has trusted the Lord and believed him, the testimony, the record that he's given of his Son. And resting your eternal heart, your eternal life upon him, your salvation. Yes, he's my salvation. Thank you, Pastor, for being true and pointing me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you for lifting him up to me. And now I can rejoice with you because he's mine. He's mine. May God's richest blessings rest upon you. Let's stand. Thank you for being with us and bearing with us in these closing moments. Our dear Heavenly Father, bless us and lead us and keep us. Thank you for thy presence in our midst this morning. And may the Holy Spirit work in the effectual power in the hearts of sinners. And thank you for those whom thou hast saved. And may we walk together and love thee, Lord Jesus, and love sinners, and want to see others saved. And for us in Christ's name we pray and ask it. In his name, amen. Thank you.